Well, hello everybody, and welcome to this podcast being called A Variation on a Theme. For you guys to know where this theme came from, I will include a link specifically that you can copy and paste directly out of the show notes and off my website directly to where this theme came from. To Twinkle Boy, who is the reason for this podcast, I offer my heartfelt condolences to you. But to point out that you are not alone. You are not the only one to have acted in this way. So I'm going to, after speaking to, one second guys while I get my ass kicked for something. So I'm going to tell you guys about my mistake, or mistakes plural. When I was 19, and I had been going through a rough time. I had only just finally managed to completely accept what I was to myself, and was struggling to fully come to terms with how I could open up to people and tell them. And unlike Pink Boy, I had the internet at home. So I sat one night in a couple of chat rooms, never lied about my age, or that I think the only thing I did lie about was how experienced I actually was, or still am. It was basically that I decided one night, because I was babysitting for a friend of mine, that I would call this chat line and so I called and essentially it was essentially like, at the time, any other chat line. And, so, you know, you leave a little intro to yourself, and, then you can give like a description of what it is you want or that you think people are looking for in you, and then you post it live. Needless to say, I think it, just because of my age at the time, as it is now still, there were a lot of old guys replying. And I got talking to one guy on it, and foolishly I swapped phone numbers with him. Now, that night he called me, and by this point I had finished babysitting, I had gone home, and I was sitting at home. My mom was out, and to a certain extent, yeah, I was free to make my own mistakes. I was classed and still am classed as an adult to make those mistakes. It's my choice. But nonetheless, it's a mistake and a lot of heart, a lot of pain that a lot of people don't have to go through. So we spoke that night, and we spoke again a couple of other times throughout the week about how, him telling me lifestyle, how often he goes out on the scene and things like that, and asking me a lot of questions. To be honest, yes, I lied. I'm not going to deny that, because as a coming out 19 year old, fully coming out 19 year old, you know, I think at the time, to start with, I was out to a few close friends, but not to many people, because I didn't know how really to tell them. And then it was a couple of weeks later, one night, he called and said, "Why don't you come to me? Why don't you come through and we can meet in person?" Now, I don't know about you guys, but I know, looking back on when I was a kid, when I was 17, 18, 19 years old, I was very, very naive, very, very gullible. I know that a lot of people could have said a lot of things to me, and I probably would have done it. I think it's only by some sheer miracle that I am, to this day, still, in one sense of the word, a virgin to this. But basically, in my case, what happened to me was to say, I got on the train, went through into Edinburgh, into the center of town. I met him at the train station, and what hit me as soon as I saw him was that I'm going to regret this. I'm not going to look back on this and see it as something that I enjoy doing. Now, that should have been my warning bell there. You know, that really should have been my warning bell to say, get yourself back on that train out of here and get home. Don't hang around here. Get yourself back home. So, I decided to go with him. And so we went. We came out of the train station, and we got into his car. We made small talk about how I was feeling about the train ride. I answered with, sometimes I tried to give a little bit of detail just to make him feel that there wasn't anything wrong, so that he didn't start pushing anything, or sometimes I just gave one word answers like yes, no, all right, and that sort of thing. And then a couple of times while driving to his house, he took his hand off the gear stick and would drop my leg. Now, to me, yeah, that's, looking back on it, it is another clue that I didn't enjoy this, I didn't like it, I should have tried to stop it here, but I continued with it, and we arrived at his home. Now, the one feeling I truly remember about that night is fear. There's only a couple of other times I've ever felt such fear in my life from a person. And I'm not kidding you. It is really shocking to know how people can make you feel so afraid and so alone and so scared. We sat in his lounge talking, watched TV for a bit, and then he, without any warning or anything like that, without even noticing that the tone of the conversation had changed or anything, he was then sitting next to me in just his t-shirt. You know, he'd taken off his trousers and his underwear and stuff, and he was just sitting beside me like that. And of course, this is exactly when it hit home that I'm not gonna like this. I'm not going to like being treated like this. I'm not gonna like doing this. Not on these terms. But by that point, I knew it was too late. I mean, I know that in times of when I've needed it, I have been incredibly strong. I have had an incredible strength behind me that I've used to help people. I have used to help myself. But this time, I couldn't muster it. I couldn't manage to so he started to rub his leg up and down me. He started to rub his hand over my chest, over my on top of my t-shirt that I've had on. I think at some point he must have decided that because he had made this effort to strip down, that he was going to make sure he got his feel, if you will. And he put his hand underneath my shirt. It felt very much like mauling, if you will. I don't know if you guys have ever been with a guy who has been quite fumbly hand-wise, because maybe if they've been nervous or something and they've just not known fully what to do with their hands. But he was quite molly with his hands, you know. It was like he wanted to touch everything, and it was quite, I was quite glad when like a couple of minutes later the phone rang. So he went away to speak on the phone. And at this point I started to feel extremely, extremely disgusted with myself, that I could let myself be treated like this. And so he came back after his phone call. It was about 10-15 minutes he'd spent on the phone. And he turned the television off as soon as he walked in the room, and he stood in front of me. I was sitting on the couch, he stood in front of me, about waist level high with my head, and I knew instantly that this was the start of the whole major awful section. I knew that this was going to be it. So he took my hand, started making me play with him. He tried to get me to suck him there, and but he must have decided that I was feeling a bit uncomfortable purely because it was in his living room, that he decided, he said, come on, we'll go up to the bedroom. I didn't feel at any time like I could tell him that I didn't want to do this. So it continued on. We went, he not marched me, but made me walk in front of him up to the bedroom. On the way up, he had his hands on my ass. You know, not that the staircase was a really long, windy staircase or anything, but he a couple of times did, you know, try and put his hands down my trousers. And we basically, when we got to the bedroom, I did fumble a bit and say, look, I need to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom, and I was practically ready to just start bawling my eyes out. You know, hammer the wall, see, get somebody to hear me. But I don't know why I didn't. I don't know. What I know is that at some point I walked out of that bathroom and back into the hell that I was going through. He started undressing me, while trying to kiss me. The only way I can describe the way he was trying to kiss me was basically as if you were eating something that you really enjoyed and you liked the taste of. And it was like that. He practically tried to eat my face, if you will. And he started, he took my shirt off, he then moved on to my pants, and it was, I started feeling sick at myself because I had let it go on. He then got into the bed, told me to get in beside him, so I did. I know a couple of times he did try to enter me, but I mastered what little courage and conviction I had to turn over. A couple of times he pushed my head down to suck him off. He tried to do the thing to me a couple of times and then decided that he was going to ride me, if you will. So he did that for a little while. He then cut off and lay beside me and started to just jerk himself off to finish. When he'd finished, he motioned to me to finish myself. Once he'd towelled himself off, I quickly realized, I'm gonna have to do this. So, basically, I started jerking myself off, to which, you know, he started again, rubbing hands all over me, rubbing me, and basically, the only thing I could do to stop myself from vomiting was to bite my own tongue. I think for about a week I could literally, if I stuck my tongue out after, I could see the impressions on my tongue. When I came, he started to lick the cum off me, started to eat it, essentially. And since that time, don't get me wrong, I have tasted cum, and it, depending on the person, does have a taste. I don't care who says it doesn't, it does have a taste at some points. But when he'd finished, he threw me the towel to dry myself off, and then it was, okay, let's go to sleep. Unlike Twinkle Boy, I didn't have the gracefulness of being able to leave that same night. I was there until the next morning. I was there when I went for a shower, and he came into the shower with me and tried to wash me, tried to enter me. I just remember continually going through my head that, oh my god, I've done this to my family. I've brought this down to them. And I think the scary thing about it is that I let it, it was as if I had let it continue and I could have stopped it. Now, I mean, looking back on it, I know that I had no way of stopping it on the whole, because for one, I was a pretty weak kid. I had no weight behind me at all. I had no strength at all. I was very weak in a lot of ways, both in mind and body. I was just thankful when the ordeal came to an end, when he dropped me off at the train station to go home. Dropped me off at the train station, I got on the train, and I just remember as soon as the train got out of the station, I went to the toilet on the train, and I, first of all, I scrubbed my hands. The water was absolutely boiling, but I scrubbed my hands. My hands were literally red raw. I got off the train at my stop, got on the bus to go to work, and I walked into work feeling so low. I mean, I honestly believe you guys, this is not how anybody should, nobody should ever feel like this. Nobody should ever feel like they are that low, that people think they are that worthless. I didn't tell anybody for a while, until I'd started speaking to a friend of mine at work, and basically one day I just broke down. I'd let it eat away and eat away and eat away at me. That the whole deck of cards I'd built after that just collapsed. The foundation was not there for it. And it came to a point where one customer literally just screamed at me, to which before I would have been able to handle with my eyes closed. But this customer just screamed at me and I just flipped out. You know, I was running scared. I ran to the toilet at work and I locked myself in. They sent her to come and get me, to take me to the office and speak to me, make sure I was all right. And when she sat me down, I explained the whole thing. I blurted it. I literally just ran it off as if, you know, like you would read a novel. You would run off the synopsis about it, run off the details about it, and I just ran it off like that. And I just remember her looking at me and then hugging me and saying that she couldn't believe that when I'd gotten that low, but then she also couldn't believe that there were people out there who could not know that they're treating people like that. That they couldn't pick up on it. I mean, I know it. At least one point during when he had me in bed, I did say that I'm not sure about this. I don't know. I don't think I want to do this. And he continued with it. He carried on. I agree that we shouldn't bottle things up. We should speak about them. But speaking takes time. And it takes time for you to figure out how and when why you want to speak about it. You can't just click your fingers and boom, you want to speak about it. So I don't know why Twinkle Boy's podcast moved me in such a way to actually want to do this show. But it contains, this show contains a piece of information about me that is quite relevant to who I am. The one thankful piece of information I take from that situation is that, apart from one other occasion, I have not let anybody control me like that. I have the power over me, I control me, I don't let anybody else, sexually or otherwise, tell me how I should be, how I should feel, what I should be doing, how I should act. With that said, there have been people over the years who have stuck by me and who have helped me. And to them who I'm going to mention, I would like to thank. To somebody who I've started speaking to recently, and only recently, I know I said the way this would work was that I would get you guys to read out a little bit, but slight change of plans. To, first of all, the capital homo, Drew. You and I have, I would say friends, I don't know what you would class it as, I hopefully believe you would class it as friends. We spent a couple of nights, at least I think we were practically one night for a whole week chatting. You gave me an outlet for me to let off steam. I know you let off a lot of steam, and I'm very grateful for you letting me do that, and I'm very thankful that I can be there to let you speak. To Dick, you allow me to voice my problems face to face with somebody, and for that I'm extremely grateful, and I'm very thankful that you want to stay in my life. I'm very thankful that whatever part you want me to play in your life, that you've asked me to play that part. To one person in particular, I would like to offer my apologies to. And to bear an example, the only thing I'm going to read out, I'm not going to read out his name, I'm not going to read out his email address or anything, I'm just going to read out what his MSN title is at the moment, which is A Hedge Between Keeps Friendship Green. I'm not going to email him the show like I said I would. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send him a link to the show and tell him that in this episode there is something relevant to him. I am deeply sorry about the way I treated you. I had no right to do that. When I said to you that I hadn't been in contact because I didn't want to hurt you anymore, I meant it. You meant a lot to me. You still do. But I know that based on what's happened, what I've done, what you did, there's no way that's going to ever be like that again. I don't want to lose you from my life completely, though. So I only hope that by you hearing this, my full public apology, if you will, that you will take the time and essence to understand exactly how sorry I am. I know you said that you're past bearing grudges about this, and I'm grateful for that. But I also want you to understand how I feel about you. With that said, the next episode coming up for me, I think, what is it, episode 20? Guys, I promise, I am not gonna, it'll be a long time now before I do another cast like this. I know that I've done two. I'm deeply sorry, for all of you guys that have to listen to that, and if you don't like it, then I do apologize. There is a warning that'll go along with this show to say that it is heartfelt and it is extremely energetic towards something that happened. As I said, I hope you guys are all well. I hope that if anybody does feel like they can't talk to anybody, feel free, you know, drop me an email, drop me, call my gizmo, you know, a queer lad, or the number being, I guess I'll just get you the number. The number being 1-747-626-6336. Give me a call on that number. Leave me a voicemail, whatever. You know, if you want to Skype me, you can Skype me at Queer Lad. You can email me at me@queerlad.co.uk, sexysuperman@gmail.com. You can talk to me on AIM at queerlad001@aim.com. Or you can talk to me on MSN with the email me@queerlad.co.uk or queerlad001@aim.com. Don't feel you have to be alone struggling with this. In a sense, it's a good thing that people like Twinkle Boy and myself have gone through hardships like this, because it goes to show that because we've done it, because we've gone through it, we know the pain that you're kind of going to go through. We know how hard it's going to be. And I just hope and pray that you guys are going to hear this before you do something like that. For a lot of people, yeah, it's very simple for them to easily turn around and say that everything is sex. That's all they want. They want sex, sex, sex. They don't want anything else. You know, and to them, fine, that if that's the way you want to live, then you do that. But the other thing I know is that a lot of, that, like myself, Twinkle Boy, and a hell of a lot of others, it is not nice to be treated like this. It's not nice to be made feel like you can't even walk outside your own front door because you're so ashamed. Excuse me, guys. So, get in touch with me. Get in touch with Twinkle Boy. Speak to us, you know, if you want to speak to us. Get in touch if you want our advice, or you want somebody just literally to air your dirty little laundry at. Fire away. You know, I'm old enough and wise enough now to know that everybody needs someone to talk to. And everybody deserves somebody to talk to. If you don't have somebody to talk to, you only end up hurting yourself because it causes more pain. With that said, you can find the Twinkle Boy podcast about this sort of, this type of event. You can find it located at www.twinkleboy.com. And all you do is you click on the Twinkle Boy podcast, and it is episode 99, entitled Mistake, 2nd of December of 2005. Now, the same warning I will apply to mine is that this podcast episode may be upsetting for some listeners. Okay, and I will add that to my own. So if you've got to this far, then it is a bit too late to be telling you that. I can only hope that by us doing these shows and by pointing out our mistakes, we hope others won't make the same ones. So I'll see you guys all at episode 20. And hopefully by then we'll have cheered up. And I promise this is not going to be a continuing event. I'll speak to you all soon, and hopefully we'll be a lot happier. See you later, guys.